Let's pick up on some of the legal questions with Emily Bazelon, staff writer for the New York Times Magazine and a fellow at the Yale Law School. And Emily, I just want your thought when it was something like 2 a.m, when you heard President Trump say that he won the election and he wanted ballot counting stopped. He called it a fraud and said he planned to take the notion to the Supreme Court.
I mean, the first thing I thought was it's just an incredibly irresponsible move for a president to make when the counting is continuing, and he was confusing voting with counting and calling for stopping the vote, as Aisha pointed out. And the second thing I thought is that it's really important to have a strong bipartisan rejection of anything that does not involve counting every ballot that should be counted. State and local officials have really made Herculean efforts to administer this election in the midst of a pandemic, and they need to be able to finish their work.
Well, and we heard from Chris Christie, a big Trump supporter at one time, and Marco Rubio saying, everything has to be counted. This is not fraud. So there's been some pushback there. But we've also seen Michigan's Secretary of State on television pleading with her constituents, letting them know that by law, she wasn't allowed to start counting the mail-in ballots till after polls closed. She'd asked Republican legislators to change the law. And they didn't. So there are laws in states that people are abiding by.
That's right. I mean, Republican legislators in Michigan and in Pennsylvania refused to make deals with Democrats that would have allowed for earlier counting. And so we're seeing something sort of ironic, which is that in Republican-led states, particularly Ohio and Florida, we had very early results because those states had weeks to process and tabulate their ballots. But the Republicans blocked exactly that path to an early complete count in Michigan and Pennsylvania. And that's part of why we have this few days of uncertainty.
Yeah. But what about the president's comment that he's going to take it right to the Supreme Court? It doesn't work that way, right? You have to go through the courts, or does it work that way?
It doesn't work that way. He would have to start in a federal district court like every other lawsuit. But I think what he meant was that he was going to try to bring federal cases or state law cases that challenge counting, challenge the validity of ballots where he can do that, and that perhaps eventually one of those cases would make it to the Supreme Court. I don't see out there a big wholesale Republican effort to stop the counting. So I think what we're more talking about is whether enough states that could make a difference to the Electoral College margin of victory are within the very close percentages that call for a recount. And that depends on every state law. Every state has its own rules about recounts. And so we may be hearing a lot about those details, or we may be hearing nothing about it at all, because it will turn out that there are enough states that break for Joe Biden and this remaining group that it is just out of President Trump's reach.
But again, if there aren't, I've had a lot of listeners ask me to ask you, can Attorney General William Barr intercede in any way in this? He has said publicly that he thinks mail ballot voting does lead to fraud. We know historically it hasn't, but can he do anything?
I mean, it would be so incredibly irregular for the Justice Department to try to stop these valid counts that are going on. What the states are doing is their normal process. And this is where it's actually helpful that we have a division of power in the United States between the federal government and state and local governments. These rules are state law rules. The people who are actually conducting this count, they are state and local officials, and William Barr doesn't control them. So it just is really hard for me to imagine how the Justice Department can prevent this count from going forward.
Yeah. So since we have you, Emily, and your thing is the Supreme Court, we've got about a minute here. I want to make sure we've asked you. The court, with Amy Coney Barrett on the bench, heard oral arguments today in a case that pits the rights of a city, in this case Philadelphia, to enforce its anti-discrimination policies against the rights of religious groups. And this involves the rights of LGBTQ people. Just briefly explain.
Yeah, this is a very highly contested lawsuit between the city of Philadelphia, which has a contract with private foster care agencies. And as part of that contract, you're not allowed to discriminate against LGBTQ couples. the Catholic social services in the city challenged that that rule because they say that not discriminating against LGBTQ people violate their constitutional rights to freedom of religion. And what we saw today were the new conservative majority very sympathetic to Catholic social services, even though ruling for them would require a major change in the law.
Yeah. I mean, Emily Bazelon, staff writer for The New York Times Magazine, a fellow at the Yale Law School. We're going to continue to follow that Supreme Court case, as well as this post-election coverage. And by the way, we direct you to Nina Totenberg's reporting on this as well. You'll find it at NPR. But Emily, thank you so much for weighing in. I think, you know, the way this day is going, we'll probably reach out again. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.